Welcome, everyone. This is the Soul Savvy Show with your hosts, EB and Q Lynn Green. Hey, folks, how are you?
Hey, Will.
How are you doing?
Doing great, doing
going
great.
On, Will?
Oh, man, what a song there. I love that song, Kelly's Glow. That's real cool.
Yeah.
Man. Yeah. Hey, I'm understanding that you have an exciting show coming up. Who's online?
Yeah, we got Top of the Hour. We have a lot of guests on. Our first guest is a podcaster. He has so many titles, DJ, audio engineer. He has a lot of titles. He has a new podcast coming called Inside 405, and I believe we're joined by him and some of his team, a part of that podcast. So if y'all just give, we got to get the editing equipment. We got to get some kind of audio clap. So y'all give it up on Soul Savage Radio to Travis Tester and his crew. We got to get the claps going or something. How are you doing?
We're doing well. Thank you so much for having us on the show. We really appreciate it. Doing great. Thank you.
No problem. Yeah, we'll get this started off right. I just found it, actually, and I was looking for your podcast, and what made you want to do the podcast?
I'm a college professor at ACM at UCO, so most people around the metro are going to be familiar with UCO as the campus up in Edmond. It's the next biggest college right under OSU and OU in the state, I believe. And they have a music school downtown in Bricktown, right next to where the Thunder play and, you know, all the clubs and on Sheridan, all the restaurants. And it's called ACM, and that stands for the Academy of Contemporary Music. And I went to school there as a student for college in 2010. I graduated 2014, did some really cool stuff in between when I exited the program for the last 2 to 3 years, started some companies with some love friends, and I've seen a lot of success. So I'm teaching there now as a, you know, I'm a 26-year-old, you know, kid that's teaching two college courses at ACM in Bricktown. And on the third floor, which is kind of like the faculty floor of the building, they have a dope interview room, designed I have access to the facility. The very first time I laid eyes on it, I was like, I want to create a TV show or a show or some kind of show in this room. And I didn't know what it was. So I just knew as soon as I saw the room, I wanted to make a show there. And so I saved up money for a camera, reached out to some local videographers who would be interested in bringing their gear on board to help make this vision a reality, and saved up like $600 over the course of a few months. And I didn't even know what show I was going to make until I got my camera. And up until this point, I was kind of thinking it would maybe be related to like my music career. You know, something kind of more focused around what I do as a DJ. But at the moment I opened up my box, like literally I got the box from Amazon or whatever. I opened up, you know, I got a DSLR camera, a Canon. And as soon as I, you know, opened it, it just, the idea, the name, everything popped in my head. As soon as I looked at the camera, I said, I'm going to make a show called Inside the 405. And instead of it being about me, in my career, it was more, I designed the show to be, just to kind of show the city, Oklahoma City, the same love that it's shown me, you know, throughout the last few years. It's been a good city to me. I just kind of wanted to bring that full circle and show other people doing cool things and make it about other people and about the city. And so that's really how the whole idea came behind it. Was I saw the room, I knew I wanted to do a show, at first it was going to maybe be more about, you know, what I had going on, but I didn't think that would sustain very long. I thought people would only watch, you know, probably the first few episodes, but then after a few, you know, the attention would probably die off. So as soon as I got the camera, I just, like, all the ideas hit me right at once. And I was like, yeah, I'm going to do a show about just people, like, you know, entrepreneurs, business owners, bar owners, venue owners, restaurant owners, videographers, graphic designers, illustrators, musicians, architects, you know, screen printers, anyone who's just, you know, doing cool stuff in the city is welcome, you know, to be a part of the show. I mean, it's not really my show. It's everybody's show. It's OKC's show. It's Oklahoma City's. So that's kind of the story of, you know, how we got to where we are right now.
Nice. Now, what prepared you to know you could do, because you do a lot of, you said a DJ, sound engineer, you do all these things. What prepared you to know you can do all the multiple passions at one time?
Yeah, I mean, they all kind of blur together and, like, they complement each other. I originally went to school, like I said, in 2010 for audio engineering, so it only made sense that a podcast realm I would do really well in, because that's my forte, is audio. I'm an audio engineer first, you know, probably before producer, before you know, DJ. So, I don't know, I just have very deep roots in audio, and throughout the years, playing so many shows as a DJ, I play every weekend for the last 3 or 4 years. So probably, I do an average of like 60 shows a year, and I book them all myself. And through that course, I've gotten, like, I guess you could say, familiar with cameras, because they're always on stage shooting my shows. I'm always on video, I'm always, you know, getting photographs. So I think, and as branding myself as an artist for so long, I thought I was kind of a title, kind of like someone who's really growing up, but through branding myself, I've learned how to become, you know, just a people person, I guess, just being in the music industry for so long. So I was like, I don't know. I know the audio skills. I know how to be personable and you know, meet and just, you know, vibe with people, how to chop it up with them. I'm not afraid to be on camera or to be on, you know, record, you know. So, I don't know, it just kind of was the perfect storm, you know. And if it ever gets to the point where I don't think I'm going to be the best host, I'll just be an executive producer and host the show. So, I just want to see it succeed and do well.
I'm going to let my co-host, EB, ask you some questions now.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like you are doing well. Like, your drive is admirable, because most people, especially to be as young as you are, don't have that, you know, that drive behind them. They don't have that type of passion pushing them to do something. I love what you said about it not being your podcast, but it is Oklahoma City's podcast. When you first conceived the idea, who were the people that you could lean on, or the people who kind of pushed you to do more and to be greater? Who were those people?
Well, both. It's kind of funny you ask that. So in my crew, I've done DJ stuff my whole life, solo career. This is my first time kind of like assembling a team. You know, I wasn't like in a band and stuff, so it's not like I had band members. So I started reaching, because it appeared pretty quickly early on that I wouldn't be able to, the show wouldn't be as good as it possibly could if I tried to do it all myself, and that, you know, getting some help would be great. And so I brought on two guys, their names are Mason and Ronnie. I've known Ronnie for a while. He's a video photographer and a photographer guy. And then Mason, he just has the same drive and skill set, and not skill set, but same drive and mindset that I have. And that's why I brought him on, is just because I saw the same kind of like hustler spirit, like you said, grinding, staying focused, working hard, I saw that kind of same work ethic in Mason, and I kind of made him like the head of our social media, doing the posts. He's the one who gets back to people, so I can just kind of do more of the creative side and work on getting like really dope guests on the show. And so he kind of became my right hand man. But the whole reason you ask like who inspires me, where did I learn, who are some of my mentors, things like that. We both are really Gary Vaynerchuk. I don't know if you're familiar with this guy. Do you know about Gary?
I don't know about Gary.
Okay, so Gary's a big CEO, startup guy. He's one of those big tech entrepreneur type dudes, like super, he's kind of like trying to be like a Warren Buffett, you know, a big business guy. And he's, I don't know, it's kind of like going around like Tony Robbins, kind of like inspirational business entrepreneur. He gives away all his best secrets for free. Like, he's not one of those entrepreneur guys like Kyle Lopez who, like, sells a course and tries to make you buy something. He literally has a camera crew that follows him around 24/7, basically, on all his business ventures day-to-day, being CEOs of all these companies. And he just publishes it as a daily vlog. And so you get to watch this guy run, you know, crazy multi-million dollar companies, and he gives out his best business advice for free if you just take the time to watch the content. And so both Mason and I are really big Gary Vaynerchuk fans, and that's really kind of how Mason got to be a part of the podcast, is just because we have the same, like, idol or mentor or whatever you could say. We both look up to the same dude, and that's really how he even became a part of this. Did you want to say something?
Good. Yeah, yeah. Gary was definitely saying, he was pushing to his audience that voice arbitrage is the next big move, and more people, like, we were doing some consumer statistics and stuff like that, and we saw that half of the audio that people listen to is still FM, AM radio, and podcasting is just, like, in its infancy still, just barely a decade old. So we wanted to get in this now. We knew it was going to be, we know it's going to be a growing industry, and there was nobody in the city that was doing something quite like it, or really bringing on the caliber of guests that we were after. We really wanted to bring on the people that are really making a difference in OKC, just the ones that are really the doers in the community.
Nice.
And go ahead.
I was just going to ask, you being a DJ, I was going to ask, what do you like doing more, corporate gigs or club gigs? And how do you analyze a room to know what to play for whatever those audiences are?
Well, okay, corporate gigs pay better, that's for sure.
yeah, absolutely.
So I will play a corporate gig all the time. They pay really
right.
But club gigs, those are the ones I pay, you know, very little, next to nothing, but they're way more fun. And then I've gotten pretty lucky to where I get to almost always play in front of my target audience every time. Like, I'm into the whole EDM rave scene really hard, and we've basically started booking DJs, like big club, you know, global DJs, and throwing our own parties with these DJs. So everyone who comes to my parties is coming because they love electronic music, so that takes all the guesswork out of most of my gigs. I mean, I still do play random bars and clubs and venues all throughout the region here and there for, you know, just extra licks and stuff like that, and I do have to read the room on those occasions, but I do have a pretty cool thing where it's all rave kids that come to my show, so I can play all rave music and just, like, what I want to do. So I've kind of built in my audience, I guess you could say, but yeah, I mean, as far as reading the room, there's pretty obvious indications that people aren't feeling what you're playing. So once I start to get that vibe, I switch it up, and I just keep trying different tracks until, like, something resonates and something hits. And as soon as I tap on that and I start getting those reactions, those positive reactions, I feed them more of that. So I put feelers out there, I guess. I put feelers out there until they nibble on one. And then that's the way I go.
I just have two more questions. I was going to ask, like, are you that DJ? Do you like people the request songs? Or are you like, nah, just get out of my face? Like, don't.
No, I don't like people
Like if you're somewhere, they say, "Hey, play that," and you'd be like, "Nah, don't do that." Are you that kind of DJ?
No. Different points in my career, I have been flip flopped on this issue, and there was one point where, you know, it's the kind of the cool or easy thing as a DJ to like hate on people who give requests. Like you always hear DJs ragging on people who give requests, whatever. But my attitude towards it has shifted. I'm definitely more into like if someone tells me something to play, I'm probably going to play it unless it's just like a really, 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 really bad suggestion, because I feel like that's a part of the dance floor. Literally came and told you what they want to hear, and that takes all the guesswork out. I mean, that's like you said, like, what do I know what to play? Well, when a part of the dance floor comes up and asks for something, they like, it eliminates all the guesswork. And chances are, if you play their song, those people are going to get out there and go crazy to it because they requested the song. So let's say a girl comes, requests a song, I play it, she's going to go on the dance floor, she can bring her friends, they're going to dance to it, and that gets other people dancing. So sometimes playing requests, like, can actually benefit you, like, really a lot, honestly. I will play people's requests all night long, because it makes my job kind of easier.
I feel like this is the most important question, and this is my last one. Are you a Prince fan? That's all I need to know.
Am I a Prince fan?
Yeah.
Rain?
Purple Rain?
Of course.
Yes. See, I feel like that should be like our go-to screen question, EB, like from now on.
A Prince fan.
But we'll get to that a little later. I was going to, you said into EDM, what's your musical, I guess this is my last one, what's your musical taste? Like, what does it span from? I know you said EDM and electronic music. What else do you listen to?
I was totally raised on hip-hop, though, from about, like, around the end of elementary, like around when I started getting into middle school, like, so, like, sixth grade, fifth grade, I found out about hip-hop, you know. Like, I feel like in suburb white land, like, they try to hide it from you. And I, like, got on the radio. I remember I used to have a little USB thing, and I listened to, like, Power and, like, all the radio stations around town, KJ, Wild, and I would wait for them to play hip-hop music, and I would record it onto my little, like, you know, MP3 device. This is before the iPod came out, and I was hooked. Like,
I think I was in college when those came out.
I know, yeah, you know what I'm talking about.
I was in college. I'm a little bit older than you.
Yeah, this little SanDisk, yeah. Like, MP3 recorders, and I would pirate hip-hop music, and I was...
Pirate! Wow, you tell them everything right now.
Rip it off the airwaves, straight up, and my love for hip-hop dominated my life from sixth grade all the way up until about, probably to, like, the first start of college. Like, when I started going to ACM for music production, I was still making hip-hop when I got there, but then I kind of saw the EDM bubble about to happen. Like, I was ahead of it a little bit. I could see the shift in dance music about to get really popular. So I kind of switched gears. But, I mean, I've played, like, JB took me on tour, on a regional tour. We went to Missouri and Kansas and Tulsa, and, like, we went all throughout the Midwest playing shows. And, like, I've played shows, you know, nonstop with Josh Lee. So I kind of, like, cross over into hip-hop, being, like, a trap DJ. I get booked on EDM shows and hip-hop shows. Like, I've played with 2 Chainz, Gorilla Zoe, Slim Thug, like, Walk
Oh, nice.
Designer. Like, I've played with a lot of dope hip-hop artists, too. So I'm not, like, only EDM stuff, but, definitely raised on hip-hop, love hip-hop, love dance music. I love the chill indie stuff that's on Spotify right now. If you go to the Spotify playlist, all that, it's, you know, kind of like chill.
Yeah.
You know, bands. It's, like, really good music, though. And then, like, of course, I still love a good, I'm a sucker for a good pop song, usually female vocals, like Lorde and stuff. I like that stuff, too. So, yeah, it's, like, it's a typical DJ answer. Like, listen to everything, you know.
Right. Yeah, but I just wanted to get a feel of it. Thank you for coming on. I appreciate where can they listen to it? When is your podcast coming out? Is it on SoundCloud or Stitcher?
Yeah, definitely. The podcast, I guess we'll
2 weeks from tonight.
Yeah, 2 weeks from tonight. We actually just decided on that. So the premiere will be September 22nd. You can download the podcast on iTunes. We'll have it on SoundCloud.
And Stitcher.
Spotify, on all those major big platforms, as well as you can watch the video on YouTube. And we're all over Facebook. We're all over Instagram. So,
Twitter.
Yeah, follow us.
It's all
inside the 405 for everything.
All the same handle on every platform. Yeah, and every audio podcast has a video component too. We filmed with about 4 different camera angles. So it's like a pretty cool thing to watch also. If you just don't want to listen, you want to watch it. It's like entertaining because it has different camera angles and stuff. So we're really excited about it.
Nice. I can't wait to look at it. I know I saw a few previews of the show of the people you were interviewing. I was like, y'all setup is nice. I'm like, I need to upgrade the budget in here or something. Y'all got on looking.
Yeah,
get the budget up a little bit.
Well, I'm super blessed that ATM has that facility that I can use.
Right.
Without it, big shout out to them. But hey, you should come on the show when anytime. We already have about 5 pilot episodes, as we're calling them, just kind of getting all the kinks out. We're about to go live, and then it's really game on. We're trying to do 1 podcast a week after that, and
nice.
We'd love to have you guys on sometime.
Oh, no problem. It'll probably just be me because I'm back and forth between Oklahoma City and Dallas, so I'm just a phone call away. All you gotta do is hit me up. I'm there. So I appreciate for y'all Inside 405 podcast coming out. Make sure y'all check that out September 22nd when it premieres, when it launches on Spotify and iTunes. And we're going to keep track of it, man. I'm going to try to listen in, try to see what the talent is in Oklahoma City. Thank y'all for coming on. We appreciate
you. Thank you guys so much.
Mm-hmm. Much love. Thank you guys. Appreciate it.
All right. Thank you. Man, that was fantastic.
Oh man, welcome back. Boy, that's a jam there. D'Angelo. Always in my hair. Welcome back, folks. We're the EB.
That's my joint right there.
EB, what are you going to do? Oh my goodness.
D'Angelo.
Oh my goodness. Q-Lan, that's a jam there.
That's the joint. And guess what? It's the Prince song. Just the one to throw that in there.
You had to interject.
We back on Soul Savage Radio.
Hey, no. Anyway, I'll let you get on with your show. But your previous interview.
We had guests in the house, so I was trying to, I had enough time to simmer down. But I feel like the pot is going to get boiled all over again.
Okay.
When we get to these savvy updates. Thank y'all.
Okay.
Y'all were listening to Travis Tester from Inside 405 podcast. If y'all came in a little bit late to the listeners, if you like coming in, we just interviewed our guest from Inside 405 podcast. It's coming out September 22nd on iTunes and SoundCloud, so make sure y'all check that out. What we're going to do right now, we're going to get right back to the show, get to the savvy updates, because we got so much to talk about on this show. And for one, you know, we got a little elephant in the room, you know, because, you know, Will likes to get me riled up. And I threw some stuff out there on Facebook earlier, and he's trying to get me riled up again. So before we even get to that, I'm going to address him in a second. But what we're going to do right now, we got two of our guests on. One of them was already on. They were already on a couple of weeks ago, and they got the whole show on fire on the Internet, on our show. I think that was probably our biggest show in August. Is we got the co-founders of As Told by Her. One of them already been on, Haley Robinson, and this is her. This is also my cousin, Whitney Robinson. So we got Haley and Whitney on. How are y'all doing?
I'm good. I'm ready for all of the hate. I'm here for it too.
Oh, here she go.
It's simmering. I know, right? It's just simmering in time. We gonna get to that in a minute. But I'm gonna ask Whitney, I haven't talked to you in so long. Actually, I haven't seen both of y'all since Haley's graduation, when she graduated, when she's in Arkansas. I haven't seen y'all since then. So what have you been up to, with the website, with everything y'all have going on? What's the motivation behind the getting the brand and all that stuff and how to keep it consistent?
Which one of
you
talking
to?
Haley, my bad.
Yeah.
No, we already know Haley. We talking to you now. She already cooked up. No, I'm kidding. She can, but yeah, Whitney, if you want to, just let the people know, your contribution to As Told by Her. And you actually written on Soul Savage before. She's, done an article there. It got some good hits on there. She had some great advice on there. So just talk about your writing.
Oh man, let me first off be very honest and say Haley has done a phenomenal job of actually pulling a lot of it on her own, especially here recently. I have taken a little bit of a back seat trying to get myself together. So, yes, it has been a minute since we've spoken. But as far as my contributions to the site, mostly Haley is definitely the face and things like that. What I just really like to do are just motivational pieces and things that are just real, like stuff that you really go through, like especially anybody who's ever worked in corporate America, there's things that don't to us regular people that might be the low man or woman on the totem pole. And then also, you know, there's times in life where you just really get down, you hit a wall, and for myself especially, it's really important to, like, I get energy from other people who are going through things that are similar to me and seeing how they overcame it, but also being able to laugh about it. You know, you fall down, but you get back up. So, but that's what I like to do, and I'm hoping to get a lot more content out here soon.
That's nice. I can't wait. Yeah, I love reading your writing. It's dope. I already clued you in. We're going to get right to it because I already know we got so many updates from last week and the week before. The savvy updates, I'm pulling them up now. Some of them, EB, they keep wanting us to do impressions. Kaylee, that show we did, they were impressed with our theater-styled Juilliard from Crenshaw.
styled, you know, kind of impressions. They kind of, they like that, that 90s, the movie one when we doing the quote. Oh man, I'm about to pull it up now. They said, okay, they said they want me to do it again. And they said, why you kept saying you forget stuff? Okay, I let the cat out the bag on the show. I was lit last week. I know some of my friends are asking, I was very lit, so I couldn't remember nothing. That's why I kept saying that. I couldn't give y'all everything because I was lit and I couldn't remember anything. So, what does it say? It said they wanted to do impressions. They said, what's our favorite quote from Poetic Justice? I don't know. I don't watch that movie. I don't even remember who was in that movie. Who's all in that movie?
Poetic Justice, my favorite quote.
Okay, Tupac, Janet.
Tupac. Oh, man. My
Mickey Howard was in there. Keith Washington.
Mickey
Howard,
Keith Washington. What's that boy name? Guy Tori? Was it Guy Tori?
Oh, was it Guy or Joe? See, we on the same way. I think it's Joe, because isn't Joe the older one?
Yeah.
Isn't he the one with the muscles? Yeah, Joe. It's the older one.
Joe.
Yeah.
Joe Tori. Man, it must have been that, Cutting Pete.
Oh, yeah. I remember that when they were at the barbecue. What was it?
Yeah.
What was the one whenever they got into a fight or whatever and they got off the mail truck and she was like, yeah, brush that weak ass fade or something like that. She said that was funny. She's like, niggas can't get hard for 5 minutes or something like that. That's why I'm sleeping with somebody else. And then he said, boop, don't start writing a jaw. Then they started fighting. I don't remember that movie. Like, see, y'all were naming y'all favorite movies.
Though.
They're naming my favorite movies. We naming our favorites. They just want us to quote everything. Oh, somebody says, do the Arsenio Hall again. Do the Hall of Nights from last week.
Which one?
My friend said do the dude with the little gun.
Oh.
He said he wants you to do it again.
Oh.
He said do the Arsenio Hall again.
Oh, man, that was,
Got it. That's my favorite part of that movie.
Wow.
Oh, man, because it was like, my favorite part in Harlem Nights was when Red Fox was at the crap table and he couldn't read the dice. And he was like, that's a nine. They was like, motherfucker, that's a six. There ain't no nine. And he was like, man, I got something in my eye. They was like, well, get it the fuck out your eye, you blind motherfucker. He's like, I ain't gonna beat too many motherfuckers now. I'm dying. That shit is hilarious. That is my favorite part. Oh, and Della Reese, they said we didn't mention the Della Reese and Eddie Murphy fight. That's classic, too. I couldn't remember all the parts in it.
Several parts.
Yeah, when they were like, he was accusing everything. He's like, either you or them got a problem with y'all arithmetic. He's like, are you accusing me of stealing? And he's like, I'm just saying. He's like, every night the table come up short. And he's like, it's either you or them. And she was like, oh, you gonna accuse me? He's like, man, he ain't accusing you of stealing. He was like, Pat, what the is wrong with you? You accused me of stealing. Now I got to fight. We got to fight now. We gonna be some fighting motherfuckers or something like that. She said, I forgot. That was funny. When they went outside.
Come on.
And she's like, oh, you like to hit people with garbage cans.
Oh, you like
now I gotta cut you.
Garbage cans.
Now I gotta cut you. And he's like, you better put the razor away. I'll cut that black crusty mouth. Something like that. He said, that was dying. That was hilarious. But yeah, what else it says on here? I'm trying to look. One of my friends said my Forrest Gump was A1. Thank
it
you.
Was fine
I appreciate it. Oh, last week's show, it was hard for me to get I'm going to try to get that audio out there. But the people, thank y'all for listening live to that, because we got a lot of feedback. Right? They like the Forrest Gump. I can't even remember. Y'all just want us to quote all these movies. Now, I can't. Okay, they said do Boomerang and Low Down Dirty Shame again. I can't remember. Okay. Boomerang. Okay. I'm going to do the Strong J. Okay, I'm going to try to figure out. Let me do my scene. Let me get it together. Okay. This is the names I want on my fragrance. Aftermath. Did you say aftermath or afterbirth? I know. I said that was B-A-T-H. I said B-I-R-T-H. Aftermath. I was just wanting the distinction. Don't make fun of me. let me think. A Low Down Dirty Shame? Okay. I'm going to try to do peaches again.
You two Tommy can't get enough bastards. I hope your prostate fall out. Okay, let me take another one. Oh, they told me to do the Wayman again. Do you know the whole one? Because I can't remember all of it.
No, I don't know the whole one. That's the thing.
Okay, let me try. Okay. You work here? Yeah, I live here. What you doing here? And he's like, I thought you was about energy is mine. And he's like, that is a hobby. You pay the bills. But I'm looking for this girl. I need you to go back there and see. And he's like, I'm going to lunch and fish is not on menu. And he's like, woohoo, Wayman. Hey, Bernard. Who is this? It's my friend Bernard. What you talking about? Home record. He's with me. And he's like, he just playing. He ain't, you know you my stuff. Don't even try it. He's like, oh, you didn't say that last night when we was in bed together, girl. And he's like, you slept with him. You slept. And then, pop. And he's like, save your tears, honey. You never had a chance. Coffee's good with cream, but better when it's black. Don't you ever call me again. And you, Mr. Coffee, if you like some steamed milk with your espresso, I'm your man. It's seen, done. Okay, that's all I'm doing. Steam. Shit, y'all got me over here trying to remember stuff. I can't remember all this. Okay, we're going to keep going. Okay, y'all happy now? I remembered it. Okay. It says the Jason Whitlock, there's a lot of them like that. Man, he about to get flamed again during Raggedy People News because I saw that little whack skit he tried to do.
He needs to be slapped for that.
Yeah, and somebody said, all of the comments say flames, and somebody put Jason, they said the Jason Whitlock part, fire button, they put Jamaican voice. Fire, I used to be good at those, I can't do it no more, the accent. Fire button, that's what it says. They said I roasted on that I had the guns out. Yeah, I'm about to have some more guns out. Verbal guns, we gonna lay them on the table, so. Okay, here's some more, it says, what drives your passion to talk about music? I guess it's to both of us. What drives our passion to talk about music?
Oh, man. I know for me, it is when I meet people like Haley who say they don't like Prince or...
Oh, here we go.
You know, people, yes. You know, it's just like each one teach one. You know, you gotta you know,
teach Karen. Teach Karen.
Right. You got to lead these people to higher ground. So
yes,
that's what drives me. I just want people to know. I like people to know who sang background on this or who played the bongos or
yes,
who played the piano.
All of that.
Who was in the corner, you know, doing a line of coke. I like those stories.
Yes, all of that. I want to know all them details.
Right.
Who had the 8-ball lined up? Who had the pitches? I want to know all of that.
It's better than that.
Who had the pitches lined up, like, I want to know.
That drives me. It does.
That's
like,
beautiful.
It's just getting out there and, I hear all the time, and I hate this, when people are like, oh, R&B is dead. It's not.
That gets on my nerves. No, it's not.
You don't know what it is. You've been so conditioned to think that something else is R&B that you don't even recognize it when you hear it. So that's what drives me, is getting that out there to be like, nah, like, it's still here. You just need to be exposed to it. That's it.
Yeah, I concur everything he said. Everything he said is pretty much mine. We're going to move on to the next one. It says, what do we listen to in the car when we ride? What kind of music do we listen to?
I listen to everything. I'm going to be honest. I normally put my phone on shuffle because I have so much music on my phone. It takes up most of the space. So, I mean, one minute it could be something by Stevie Nicks. The next minute it'll be Kendrick Lamar. The next minute it's Chaka Khan. The next minute it's Frankie Beverly. The next minute it's Led Zeppelin. It's my musical taste is everywhere. It's all over the place. And it's always on shuffle, unless it's an album that just came out or an album that I can't get enough of. It's on shuffle. So, you know,
right.
R&B, rock, hip-hop, gospel, a lot of gospel. So that's where I'm at.
Mine? Yeah. It depends on my mood. Now,
right.
Monday through Thursday, I try to mix a little current. During the week, I try to mix current like I listen to Migos. Like I was telling y'all before, they think because we listen to soul music and stuff that we can't listen to any other genre or whatever. I listen to all kinds of music. During the week, I like listening to Migos album. I like that Culture album. That album bumps. I love that album. Migos is the truth. Like, them is some, like, little Israelites. Like, I love listening to them. They're amazing. Yeah, I listen to that ASAP Ferg. I like that during the week. But then closer to the weekend, I like my old school. Like, I put it on Friday, though. That's some good old pay. I put on some good old payday music, like some. I call it, I got like separate playlists. Like this one, I usually on Fridays, I like playing my West Coast and East Coast when I have those when I get ready to work out. And my playlist on Spotify is called, one of them is my East Coast, is called Run Them Shit, Son. That's a really good one. It got a lot of good ones on there. And then my West Coast one, when I play Go Workout, is called I'll Beat Your Ass on the Set playlist. It's my West Coast one. It's pretty dope. And then my favorite one on Fridays is to play is, I call it the Powder Pack music. That's where I got my 3-6 Mafia on there. You dig what I'm saying? Got that on there. I was just listening to that. I bumped that. I had it. I promise you. I drove all the way to Dallas, and I was bumping 3-6 Mafia the whole way through. I had it on Sipping on Some Scissor. What? I had it turned. Your favorite phrase, turn. I had that shit all the way up in the car. I was jamming. Like, oh. When I evangelist pastor Pimp C come on with that verse, what? He's like, a true fucking pimp, a pimp, not a pimp, keep the dope fiend, tired, been a good year, but we eat so many shrimp. That's my joint right there. Woo! That get me hype in the car. Soon as DJ Paul say, all you non-smarters, non-smart, I'm like, I'm there with you, bro, let's go. Like, you ain't gotta tell me about a good time, let's go. Like, start the song. I get hyped when that song come on. I just like how they flow on it. It's dope. Like, Juicy J, he's like, powder pack, some with me, that. But they are really the cultures of the perk music now, with the pill popping music now. They are the founding fathers of that music.
Yeah.
Give some appreciation to that, but we gonna move on. But yeah, that's what I love listening to in the car. I like Rick Ross's, I think the Teflon Don album. I like listening to that in the car. Even though I feel very self-loathing about myself when I listen to it, because he got a song on there called Maybach Music 3. And at the time when it came out, I had a Chevy Malibu. So I was like pretending it was a Malibu, Maybach. It was Chevy. I had a Chevy Malibu pretending it was a Maybach, but that's just how. Because he like you got to have an expensive car when you listen to them songs. Like when you put on Jay-Z, he's talking about, like, fancy stuff. Like, I feel like I got to have, the most lavish things when I listen to his, Holy Grail and the other one. I feel like I got to have Magna Carta. I got to have, like, fancy stuff. Like, that's, like, top caviar music to me. But, yeah, that's what I like listening to. Okay, we're going to get right to Haley. I know y'all been, No, y'all can't wait to hear. I want to get their names on here, but I think a few of them want me to put their names on here. Let me look for Haley's.
Mm-hmm.
Get Haley ready. Okay, we're going to start with the easy ones. Okay, it says, you get a pass. I know I said that last week. I said you get a pass because they said you're young. They were pretty much concurring what I said, that you were young, so you wasn't up on Prince
this
when he
not
was.
Because
he was. Say what? It's not about you. I'm talking about the listeners' questions. These are their comments.
Okay, let's go.
Okay, that was one. You got one on your side. A lot of I don't know why y'all were talking about Prince versus MJ. That's not what that was about. I was talking about being drunk at a Morris Day show. I don't know how it turned to this whole conversation. They're like, nah, you can't just casually. And a lot of them were on your side. They were like, you can't just casually say Prince is better than MJ. I'm like, how can I not? Are you serious? What? Like, that wasn't even the point of the conversation, but we're going to keep going because I'm getting riled up already. Okay, it says...
You're already riled up.
Yeah, well, we're going to get to you in just a second, sir. We're going to get right to you because we got something for you as well. Okay, it says, J.B. Rock said this last... He said, he's like, you need to make her top 77 cousin and add distant relatives for that Prince comment. That's what he said.
Oh.
This is from J.B. Rock from Chicago.
Okay, that's fine.
They say cut the family branch. A lot of those. And it says, some of them said, how old are you? She's in her early 20s. Yeah, a lot of them said that they're both good performers. The Prince, I don't know why y'all keep bringing that up, Prince versus MJ. They said they were both good. Okay. Yeah, you pretty much, it was a lot of them. It was a split. Most of it was Prince versus MJ, but them don't count because we've been talking about that. So I'm going to delete all these after the show is over with. So, because if you ain't say Prince, I don't care about none of this at the end of the day. Okay, here's one from Will. Somebody said, did Prince take your girl at a show? Why you mad, son? Oh, they're going shots at you, Will. They said that Prince take your girl at a show. Why you mad, son? They hit you with that, Will. What you got to say? Since you want to jump in, respond to that. Where you at now? Put the Pinot Grigio down and answer the question. What's going on? Oh, you done left the building now.
No. But I did have to.
I did have to grab a glass
of Pinot though. Don't worry about that.
See, that's why I be trying to tell y'all, man. Y'all think I be making this up? He tells himself all the time.
With me,
he got it right underneath the engineer desk. I didn't told y'all.
I don't be
making up stuff.
I think that's a pretty good idea. Okay. Anyway, you know, before we get into that, and you're gonna have to repeat the question. But Q-Lynn, I thought we agreed off air that this is a family show.
This is a family show. These are family asking questions. The listeners want to know. This is the question again. They said, did Prince take your girl? I'm sitting here reading it right now. It says, did Prince take your girl at a show? Why you mad, son?
Oh.
Answer the question.
That is a great question. And I want to know, let's see, I don't want to offend anybody. But I want to know what idiot asked that question. So the point, no, it has nothing to do with it. It has to do with talent. And I don't know how it came about.
Ooh.
Because, oh yes, EB, it comes about talent. Now, you could throw this argument at me or,
well,
Prince played,
right,
hold on. I haven't interrupted you.
No, you may not. If you don't start it with that.
What? Talent? Okay.
Talent?
That's right. We're not talking about instruments.
What?
We're talking about performance. We're talking about stage. We talk about the
great. Oh, my God.
Yes. Prince can't sing. Prince couldn't sing.
Thank you. Did he say he can't sing?
What?
That's right.
I'm about to throw all this equipment on the floor right now.
Well, that's your equipment.
I would like to ask
your audience. If there were a chance that, okay, we know they're gone, right? But if they had a chance to go to a Michael Jackson concert or Prince concert and they had to choose one, which would they go to? Michael Jackson all day long.
No.
Yes.
In the 90s, they had to sterilize Michael Jackson's needles for him to get on stage after the 90s. We're not going to play this game right here.
No, you need to leave that out of it because see, Prince has some skeletons also.
Inside that stage, he wasn't getting on there. That's what the truth is.
No.
Listen, we getting the guns.
Michael Jackson.
Y'all get me worked up.
Michael.
We getting these verbal guns
okay.
out. Let's go.
Let me ask you a question.
I got them out now. Let's go.
No. Let me ask a question. Wasn't Michael Jackson the best performer ever? Yep. Hands
yes.
down. And no question about it. And Michael, and you know, guess what? I never bought a Prince album. I have some Prince
songs. That is, you missing out on blessings. Don't try to fight us because you missing out on blessings.
No. I do have Prince music on my hard drive here and I play it often because my audience wants it, right? And I'm not saying that the man isn't talented, but what I'm saying is he was great. He could play anything. Okay, he could play anything. He could act. He could, but guess what? Singing, dancing, performing. I mean,
man,
Michael Jackson. No.
We gotta talk about Prince. Ain't never stopped performing after the '80s and '90s. He was going on till April 21st, 2016. That was his last performance day. He was in there getting it in. Had the bass, guitar, drums, piano.
That still doesn't discount.
What was Michael doing?
That doesn't discount
he
anything that I said.
Home like a heroin addict before getting on stage. It wasn't a This Is It tour. He made a literal translation of This Is It tour.
Oh no!
I didn't know that.
Have you been?
This is it for real. That was what that conclusion was.
Guess
this
what?
Is it for real.
Have you been to the Michael Jack? Have you been to Las Vegas to the Michael Jackson show? It still goes on. It sells out. I've been there three times. Okay.
I went to Prince at the Forum and he performed for 5 hours.
Uh-huh. Okay.
5 hours.
It doesn't matter.
There's no opener.
The man couldn't sing.
What? See, the others blasphemy here. We're not going to tolerate on this show. Because these are, that's why we about to get this Prince karaoke popping off. Get those song, get that song on. Hey, come on.
Okay, Q-Lin, why don't you let some of your other guests and hosts chime in, and I'd like to hear their opinion.
They agree with you, so don't even. Well, not.
Oh, they agree with me.
Wait a minute.
You need some friends.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. We got
like 5 farms.
There we go. We got 3 to 2 on this show. Let's go. Get your sister and Will together real quick, though. Let them know.
I ain't gonna do that because that's my sister. Like, she know how I feel about Prince. And
that's my cousin, but still.
Wow. And she know how I feel about Prince. But to say he can't sing and he don't have no talent, I don't. What? How can you say that?
It's blasphemy on the show. That's why he can't sing.
Yep, I said
it. Like, if you don't like him, if he's not to your actual taste, I get that. But to say he has no talent and he can't sing, I don't see where that's coming from. I don't hear that at all.
We don't have to take that.
Now, okay, I have to give you that. I'll give you that. Okay. As far as like the Michael Jackson or the Luther Vandross and some of these other great, great singers, Prince was not on that level. These cats could not play the instruments. Prince was brilliant as far as writing, producing, and he could play anything. I give you that. And as far as a singer was concerned, I would kind of put him on like maybe an average, level as far as that's concerned.
Are you kidding me right now?
I just said it.
Prince had the range. What are you talking about?
Is average.
Prince had the range. He had all of the range. We're not going to do that. All those options. Let's do the Prince karaoke right now. We're going to do the Prince karaoke right now. What's my favorite song about? Erotic City? We about to get this Prince karaoke started. We just going to do this for 5 minutes.
Okay. Hey, Q-Lin, I love it when you get riled up. I love it.
All of my purple life.
I can't believe this.
We'll go to the next song. What's the next one? We'll go to, I got no money. Da, 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 da.
Unbelievable. Folks, this is...
What's the more Prince songs we can do? Since I want to be disrespectful. What's the more, E.B.? Throw another one out there. Throw some more.
Big if you will, the picture.
There we go.
I engaged in a kiss.
My ears...
What?
Your ears?
What? That is a joint. Don't be disrespectful.
Girl, you say you overwhelmed.
Baby. What's it gonna be? Don't make me waste my time. Don't make me lose my mind. right there. Y'all gonna conceal every one single piece of them Prince songs right there. Y'all not gonna disrespect the purple one on this show. What are we gonna
hey,
do?
I got something for you.
Transition to Ragged People News. And, oh, what are we gonna do? Oh, you gonna do this? Turn it off right now. We ain't listening to my bleeding. Turn it off.
Wow.
Turn it off right now. Turn it off. You ain't gonna give no classic love songs to some beaters.
Yeah.
Nigga try to act like he a gangster. He wasn't no kind of gangster in that song. Talking about beaters. Like
man, this is too good.
That ain't no jam. Turn it off.
Man.
They told him, don't turn you it off. Talk about Peter. Got niggas with fishnets. Like that.
I'm really clear. So beat it. Just beat it. You better run. You better do what you can.
What is that? The Al Yankovic version?
Don't be a macho man.
This is the Soul Savage Show, EB and Kulin Green. Are you ready to say uncle?
Oh man.
That's the nose he should have stopped with that one. He should have stopped with that nose.
Oh my. That was
Pat
so much.
That is original face.
That was so much fun.
That is original face. He ain't never had reconstructive surgery.
Oh, you gonna start it up, huh?
He believed in himself.
Hey, welcome back. Hey, that was so much fun.
I'm mad you turned on that song. That's why I talked through the whole thing. Got gangsters, got fake gangsters on there with Nas dancing like they in a musical or something. If you don't get out of here with that, if he was in a real Crip neighborhood, they would have stabbed him for that. Like, get out of here with this beat it song. No, that don't happen in the hood.
Oh.
That was not realistic adaptation. That was not gangsters. I can't believe you just did that. You really trying to start this Prince versus MJ war.
I know.
Guess what? Prince wins all day.
Win what?
He win everything in every element of playing. Michael time was over with after the 90s. When them needles came, he was done. He wasn't performing nowhere. That's why his last performance was called This Is It, because that was real life adaptation. Y'all didn't even realize it. He was like, this is it for real, because I'm out of here. So boom, take that.
No, you're just a Michael Jackson hater. I don't get it.
I love Michael Jackson. Every game we play, I talk about Oscar Wilde. What you talking about? I love Michael, but we ain't about to disrespect Prince on this show. That's what's not gonna happen. We not gonna do this.
Like I said,
Prince was everything. He could sing.
He had the range. He had the instruments.
He had the women. He had the confidence.
He couldn't dance.
Prince couldn't dance either. Meanie, so he loses all the way.
Uh-huh.
One man called another man meanie.
Okay.
How old is he? 5? He said Prince was a meanie. Who says that? A grown man, 50-year-old man is calling another grown man a meanie. Who does that? But we don't get to Raggedy People News because my blood pressure is going up and I feel my veins popping out of my neck right now because I'm at like a level 100. I'm trying to bring it down.
So where's your blood pressure? Is it a category 5 yet?
Woo! It's already there because you got me there. You got me talking and I'm trying to be cool and calm, but you didn't. I'm about almost lost my voice. I had it, almost had it back, and you about to take it out again. Get me riled up on the internet and get me riled up on the show and be disrespectful and play Michael Jackson after we sing a Prince. That's why we don't sing some more Prince songs going into the break.
You better leave it alone. Okay.
Okay, we're going to get to Raggedy People news, and then I'm going to mute Will. So we about to cut him off in a few minutes if he don't stop with this this MJ versus Prince, because Prince wins all day. All day, every day. And that's the finale of that. So we're going to Raggedy People news. Yeah, there's a lot that happened. EB, did you have any you wanted to say first? Because I only had like a couple.
You know what? This week, I don't have a whole lot of Raggedy. I mean, I don't have any new Raggedy People news. The same people being Raggedy.
Right, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, I mean,
especially Jason Whitlock. Saying,
yeah.
Obese Jason Whitlock tried it again. He did some old tired sketch about Colin Kaepernick and had a kid from Kid and Play dress up as Colin Kaepernick in a skit. It was corny as hell. And Fox Sports hasn't showed it again. They banned it from there, so they're not even showing this skit on there no more. But yeah, his big old wide back talking trash as usual. It wasn't funny. He got a lot of backlash from it, so that's what he gets. I told y'all he lays down in the bed and puts his pants on. I could feel it. And he sleep with the fan on. I know he do. He do a lot of fat people stuff. He eats over 5,000 calories every day. He feels bad about himself. That's why he goes on TV talk about black people all day, because he ain't got no confidence in himself. If you go to that gym, you get that at gunpoint workout partner, like I said. Just have somebody over you with a gun, so you get them sit-ups in. You feel good about yourself. But he don't want to do that. He just want to keep getting on TV talking crazy. So, yeah, he's absolutely in Raggedy People news. I would suggest he really need a diet shake IV. He just needed to walk around with it, like get some kind of diet Sprite Zero or something, and just get it in his veins. Just get an IV of that and just walk around with it. But yeah, what is it? What else would happen in the news? Raggedy People news. It was a whole bunch. It was a lot of backlash with, like you said, with the, what was it? The Joel Osteen pastor dude.
Oh, still going on. That kind of Osteen.
Yeah, a little bit in face. I guess Facebook just be late on stuff because they just be talking about it or whatever. But
yeah.
Oh, the Trump and the DACA situation. I read a little bit about it. I didn't really know that much. Now, what can you clue me in a little bit on that? Because I know it's for the children of immigrants that's related to.
Right. I thought it protected.
Say it again. Uh oh. You've been cut off. EB, where you go?
Got me.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, I was saying, I wasn't aware that it affected the children of immigrants, actually. I thought it only affected those who were actually immigrants, not their children.
So, what's up, Q-Lynn?
Oh, my God. Well, I thought I had put you on mute. What is going on this show? I gotta put you back on mute. Haley Whitney, y'all chime in. What do y'all think of that Trump situation with DACA?
I think it's a mess. Like, people are killing me with the fact that, or the argument that it's the law, blah, blah, blah. But it's like, just because it's a law doesn't equate to it being moral. And so that's my thing. It's like, these, now young adults, because most of them, I think, average between the age of like 25, I thought I read. And it's just like, when they came over here, they were babies. Like, some of these people were 6 months old. So you're about to punish them for something they had no control over. And Trump is really just on a rampage. So I think it's ridiculous.
What do you think, Whitney?
I agree, because you also have to think about, like, if they are averaging about 25, think about what a lot of these people are doing as far as their work life,
exactly,
their family is concerned. So for you to be like, oh, you know what, we changed our minds about that, and we're not going with that anymore. What are they supposed to do?
Exactly.
Like, they have no control over this. That makes no sense.
Right.
I agree. Okay.
What do I think about obese Jason Whitlock? That whole skit.
Wait a minute. Hold it, Q-Lynn.
Oh, here you go. What? Yes.
Okay. Thank you. No, I took a break just for a second. You asked a question. I had stepped just away from the board.
I thought you was about to get off the press again.
No. This is deeper than that. It has nothing to do with Prince. Prince was all
go
in
ahead.
Fun. It was all in fun. All right. No, what I want to say about that, I want to just chime in on this DACA situation, because I follow that a lot. And we talk about this, all of these political things nationwide, on various shows on Studio W. And this is it's near and dear to me. I think that, it really had nothing to do with what we're thinking right now. It is dead wrong. It is dead wrong. What he's doing is cruel and it's evil. And I'm going to tell you why. Just like you have pointed out before, these kids right now that he's talking about deporting, they had nothing to do with them being here, and the statistics show that they are contributing to society, and it says something about I forgot the exact number, but there are billions of dollars.
Did you read where they said that 100% of them are like non-criminals? Did you read that, Will?
They said
that the people under that, they said they're 100% not non-criminals on there. So any kind of thing they try to throw out there, they're not even criminals. So anybody try to make that point is not true.
And they're working. They're working and they're paying taxes. And you lose revenue, and the jobs they have, guess what? Let's not fool each other, right? They're not taking jobs away from anybody. They've been here. You can't do that to someone. But see, it goes deeper than that. It goes along with an agenda that even goes back to his base. You understand?
Yeah.
It goes back to his base, and he's trying to satisfy that base because that's all he has right now. Because it goes back with Steve Bannon. It just goes back with everything, the investigation, the alt-right, okay? Charlottesville, with him giving Joe Arpaio a pardon. All of this is to satisfy his base. And so if you notice, when the statement was made, he didn't even come out to make it. He had that alien looking Jeff Sessions, looked like my favorite Martian.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
He does look like an alien. That's why
I was funny. No, look at it. I don't know. I'm dating myself, but I don't know whether you guys remember My Favorite Martian or not. You know, with the pointed ears, the short guy, you know, with the bug eyes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I know you're talking about. That's hilarious. You said it looked like that. That's hilarious.
Yeah. No, I'm serious. To come out and make the statement. When it comes out to the hard things, he steps back. He's a bully, but he's also a chump. All right? He puts everybody out there to do his dirty work for him. This is how he's always operated, folks. And so the thing about it, I think he would throw his own wife under the bus if it came to saving his own ass. I'm telling you.
Which wife? Are you talking about Ivanka, his sister, the other one?
Well, he's already thrown the other two under the bus. You know, all you have to do is read up on it. You know?
Right.
One had accused him of rape in a court trial. And then later on, she retracted it. So you have to understand.
Yep.
Hey, this cat, it goes on, and I don't want to take over this show by spewing facts and things like that. But everybody, the people that voted for him knew what they were getting, because they wanted somebody as evil as they are. You see? And
hey,
they
were. I'm gonna ask you a question.
Yes.
I'm gonna ask you a question. Do you think with that DACA, with that one, it's not already, they gotta send that to Congress, right, for them to vote on it, right? It's not like when
that. Now, define your question. What are you talking about? With DACA?
Cause I thought Obama had put that in place
So I'm trying to figure out, I was asking you, like, with the DACA situation, does that go through Congress? I'm trying, because I had read up on it a little bit.
Okay.
I was trying to...
No, no, let me give you the specifics about that. President Obama put it in place to protect these kids, but it's a temporary order, and it has to be renewed every 2 years, you see. So it was an executive order. It never went through Congress to make it law. If Congress had passed it, and see, a lot of people are blaming Obama right now because they say, well, while Obama was in there, he didn't make it law. They blamed a lot of things on Obama. Do you know they're blaming Hurricane Harvey on Obama? I mean, I'm serious about this. Okay. No. I mean, this is ridiculous. Okay. But the thing about it is, no, DACA was an executive order, which the president has a right to do, but it was a temporary ban. And the way, the rules were that you had to renew every 2 years. And so these kids, now check out what happened though. All these 800,000 or so kids, they went up there and they gave the government their social security number, their driver's license, their address, their phone number. So now, guess what? If these kids get deported, the government already knows where they are, who they are, where they work, and who they work for. You know? So,
okay.
It's crazy. So, it's an agenda that is by this racist, alt-right movement, because Donald Trump is a puppet for Steve Bannon and these other cats that he brought on. If you look at everybody that is surrounding him, they are nefarious looking and acting. Everybody has something, a cloud over their head. Look at everybody
that
he has
hired. Did Steve Bannon get fired? I thought he got fired.
Of course he got fired.
Trump forgot what he did, because I know it happened whenever the Charlottesville thing happened. I never knew the details on it, or why he fired him. I just knew he fired. They put it over the news or whatever. I didn't know why he fired
him. They never gave you a clear understanding of why he was fired. But if you remember, did anybody ever give an explanation? Well, see, there was a problem between him and his son-in-law, Jared Kushner. And Ivanka, they didn't like him. There's so much divisiveness that goes on it because Steve Bannon was telling Trump what to do. And remember who Steve Bannon is. He was the chief executor at the Breitbart, you know, that racist organization that puts out all of this news that is pro, right. You understand?
Right.
So you have to understand where that is. Now you have to understand, why did Donald Trump hire somebody like that in the first place? All right? Just because he was pulling the strings, okay? You had to think about General Flynn. Okay, you got this thing with Jared Kushner. You got this thing even with his son-in-law. And remember, in the very beginning, he wanted all of his family to have a privilege to be able to have to listen in on top secret stuff that goes on at the White House. Come on, this is crazy.
That's some good. I'm glad you said that, because I didn't know. That makes a whole lot of sense when you broke down that DACA situation, because that's why he's doing that, because he's pretty much trying to get his voters. But on top of that, they're going to lose all the jobs there. All those jobs are not going to be. I'm trying to figure out what they can do to stop that, because if he does that, if that goes through, then those jobs are not going to be there for people, because nobody's going to do those jobs that those immigrants do at all. Like, nobody, those jobs are not going to be there.
Yeah,
how
many friends did you know go out there and pick strawberries?
Right, exactly. They're all not going to do that. Nobody wants those jobs. That's why they do them.
No, it's a cover. It is an absolute cover. And the thing that is alarming to me is that he is willing to sacrifice the entire United States for his own agenda. And nobody even pressing him on, he still hasn't turned over his taxes yet. All right. And did you also know that he said he didn't know anything about Russia? He didn't know Putin. He has no business in Russia. And less than 2 years ago, he was planning on building another Trump Tower in Russia. Do you know evidence just came out about that?
Yeah. And Donald Trump, his son, the ugly one,
both of them ugly.
Not the young boy. Both of the older sons is ugly as hell. They look like, something out of a werewolf movie. They are the funniest looking people I ever saw in my life. But Donald Trump Jr., he was actually, had to be under, investigation. I think he just, was at a hearing or something. They were talking, I saw people talk about that on Twitter. And he was basically lying and trying to cover his tracks and saying that he wasn't in the room when they were talking to Russians and all that stuff, meeting with them before the election and all that stuff. So, yeah, I guess they're trying to poke holes in it. They're still investigating it. I don't know yet. But, yeah, they're all lying. If we get his taxes, he's going to say everything about what he's doing. And the fact he's not releasing them, he has ties with Russia, period. And
oh, it's no question about it. And you know
he's
what?
He's not going to release his taxes because he knows that it, all that is going to be incriminating. But he has no choice. I hope he gets to a point where he has no choice in release. I know it's, they do it voluntarily, but I hope they make him release it. Find some kind of connection to where he has to release them. Find where the money trail is.
With the special investigator they have right now, he has the power to go in because the thing, we already know some things, right? But guess what? We don't know what those private investigators know. All right? There is so much stuff that we have no idea of what's happening. If we knew everything that was going on up there in government, it would scare the living out of everybody. I'm telling you the honest to God truth. You have to understand that.
Exactly.
Okay. But you have to, but there's an investigation going on, and the thing about it is Trump has always been able to deflect things away from what the real problem is, and he's in serious trouble as far as this Russia thing is going on. But nobody's talking about Russia right now because you're talking about hurricanes, you're talking about DACA, you're talking about, Arpaio down at, that racist cat, that was convicted of discrimination, right here in Arizona, the next state over from me. Okay. And then he's going to pardon this guy. All right. Because of the same type of people that marched in Charlottesville, with torches, are talking about blood and soil. Are you kidding me? This is and Trump, that's his base. That's what Hillary Clinton was talking about when she said that half of his voters were deplorables. That was she was talking about. And I wish
and
she had
I'm
gone.
I'm so mad she took that back. I was like, why did you take that back? You should have just said it, and then she going to take it back later.
You're right, Q-Lynn.
Why would you even say it if you going to take it back? That's what made her lose cool points with me. I'm like, you should have just took it, because they are deplorable, every single one of them. I love to shop at Walmart. All of them look dingy and nasty looking. They look like they take baths every day. They're deplorable. I know they look like it's me in the store. Every time I go to Walmart, I'm like, oh, ain't nothing but Republicans that shop here. A bunch of deplorables, all of them, because they look like they don't bath correctly. Like, they think about taking a bath, but then they're like, nah, I'm not going to take one. Like, that's what they look like.
Wow.
And they all look like they smell, and they dirty. But, yeah, Trump stays in Raggedy People News.
This is
I
deep.
Think as much... As long as we've been doing this show, he's been in, since we created Raggedy People News, he's been in that. So
he's been Raggedy.
And then I read somewhere when they said he didn't even know what he was. So not only do we have a racist in office, we actually have a literal one in office, and he's worse than Bush, because I wasn't questioning if Bush could read or not. I don't even know what this president, what he'd be doing. Like, you can't read some forms of legislation and all this stuff. Like, what is going on in this White House? Can't nobody read in the White House. That's crazy to me. But yeah, we gonna change it. That's the only Raggedy People News that I had. I thank Will for that information, because I didn't know he broke it down perfectly, because I didn't know any of that.
Right.
And how he broke it down made sense. So thank you for that, Will. We gonna go to Savvy News. I was gonna bring up Michael Bennett. Thankful. I love how as soon as we get into it, he's an NFL player. I want to say he plays for the Seattle Seahawks, right?
Michael, there are two brothers in the NFL. Michael, and what's the other one? Oh my goodness.
Michael Bennett.
But there are two brothers that plays, both, one plays for the Seahawks, and I forgot the other team, and I'll look that up for you.
The one I'm talking about is the one that was talking about police brutality, the one that got...
In Las Vegas.
To all the people, it was a NFL player that came out and wrote a tweet. He had a... I have it pulled up right here. This is what he said. He said, "Dear Will,
on Saturday, August 26th, I was in Las Vegas to attend the Mayweather and McGregor fight on my day off. After the fight, while I headed back to my hotel, several hundred people heard what sounded like gunshots. Like many of the people in the area, I ran away from the sound, looking for safety. Las Vegas police officers singled me out and pointed their guns at me for doing nothing more than simply being a black man in the wrong place at the wrong time. It says a police officer ordered me to get on the ground. As I laid on the ground, complying with his commands to not move, he placed his gun near my head and warned me that if I moved, he would blow my effing head off. It says, terrified and confused by what was taking place, a second officer came over and forcefully jammed his knee into my back, making it difficult for me to breathe. They then cinched the handcuffs on my wrist so tight that my fingers went numb. It says the officer's excessive use of force was unbearable. I felt helpless as I lay there on the ground, handcuffed, facing the real-life threat of being killed. All I could think of was I'm going to die for no other reason than I'm black, and my skin color is somehow a threat. My life flashed before my eyes as I thought of my girls, would I ever play with them again or watch them have kids or be able to kiss my wife again and tell her I love her. I kept asking the officers, what did I do, and reminded them that I had rights they were duty-bound to respect. The officers ignored my pleas and instead told me to shut up and then took me to the back of the nearby police car where I sat for what felt like an eternity until they apparently realized I was not a common criminal or ordinary black man, but Michael Bennett, a famous professional football player. After confirming my identity, I was ultimately released without any legitimate justification for the officers' abusive conduct. Held a strong conviction that protesting or standing up for justice is just simply the right thing to do. This fact is unequivocally without question why before every game I sit during the national anthem, because equality doesn't live in this country, and no matter how much money you make, what job title you have, or how much you get, when you are seen as a nigger, you will be treated that way. The system failed me. I can only imagine what Eric Garner, Michael Brown, Trayvon Martin, Tamir Rice, and Charlena Lyles felt. I retained Oakland civil rights attorney John Burris to investigate and explore all my legal options, including a fire civil rights lawsuit for the violation of my constitutional rights. And it ends, sincerely, Michael Bennett.
Wow.
So, yeah, I just read that some days ago. And I know you said EB put Shannon Sharp. Yes, I saw his video, Shannon Sharp. Shannon Sharp, once again, is having the news for talking right and preaching out here in these streets. Go ahead, EB.
No, Shannon Sharp has everything that he has been saying, especially over the past couple weeks, has been, like you said, has been spot on. He has been right. This week it was, of course, back to the Kaepernick controversy and all that good stuff going on. And he basically was saying that, basically what he was saying was he was kind of shining a spotlight on the fact that people are saying that Cap donated the $100 million. People are mad about that, but he was saying J.J. Watt raised $20 million for a charity, and it was okay for him to, you know, raise money for a charity or to speak out against certain things, but Cap, when he does it, everybody wants to tell him just to stick to football. It's like,
exactly.
Shut up and football. When the white guy does it, it's okay. It's great. You know, he's a philanthropist, and you know, he has a heart and, you know, all this other craziness. But Kaepernick, and it's still crazy to me because literally all this man did was kneel down. That's all he did. And America is tearing this man apart, like limb by limb, for being a decent human being. That's what his crime is, being a decent human being. And Shannon Sharp, I guess he's tired of it, like many others, like, you know,
right,
hundreds, thousands, millions of other Americans. He's tired of it. So every chance he gets, he calls them out on their BS, and I love him for it.
Right. What do y'all think, Haley and Whitney?
Everything he said was great, perfect for me.
Well, I think we're like in the perfect situation for all of this stuff to happen. Because if you take notice, like before this skit even started, things were really already starting to ramp up. Like,
yep.
There's been tension in the U.S. for a minute. It's not going anywhere. But I don't remember a time, and I'm just 30, so I can only speak on the time that I've been here, but I don't remember a time where I really felt paranoid. Like, I run a lot now, and there's times where I'm like, man, maybe I should turn around. I've never felt like that before. And there was even a, living in Oklahoma, there's a Dodge truck parked kind of off to the side. There's three white men out. And as I'm passing, I'm like, okay, so I can go straight past them. If I think I can beat them in case things go wrong, I can make this right real quick, take my chance in the woods, or I can try to run across the street. They're not doing anything that's really making me feel like they're about to come my way. But just because of the simple fact that things have gotten out of control, I'm always watching myself. And so I think we all need to be, like, people just need to be, they need to be careful with some of this stuff. Like, that's why that skit was really irresponsible that they put out. We can't undermine
it
right now.
It's
funny. Yeah, like, this ain't the time for that anyway. Like, don't add to a situation that's already toxic. Like, you're just making it worse.
Now, I wish they could give an Edwarda Buffalo time anyway. That big thick. I wish they could give that water buffalo airtime anyway. I'm tired of that obese man. But go ahead. Finish your thought. Sorry. I got caught up.
No.
Thinking about that.
You good. Like, I don't know if any of y'all actually saw Trump when he was making his rounds, like, before the election, but I went to the, they had a rally here at ORU, one of the colleges here in Tulsa, and so me and my now fiance went out there, and people were like, why are y'all going out there? Like, y'all gonna be the only black people? Y'all gonna get drugged and all this stuff? And I was like, no, I'm trying to find out if this man is really as crazy as I feel like he is. I have never felt so out of place in my life. The energy in there was just, I don't have words for it. And I remember
it felt like a Klan rally.
Man, like, I've never been to a Klan rally, and I'm really not trying to get close if that's what it's like. Like, people looking at us kind of funny. They're,
absolutely a Klan rally then if they're looking at you crazy.
Oh. Well, I mean, we really were, like, 2 of 5 black people in there, so they probably really were trying to figure out why we were there. But, like,
right.
He's throwing out people just off top. Like, he ain't even started the speech. Palin came out, and I saw my state just get lit. And I'm like, really? So we're excited about all of this crazy talk about somebody throwing people out of this college, about somebody who's not talking about real issues. We're excited over all of this hatred that he's spewing, and I was like, we in trouble. Like, this is, like, what do we do with this? Like, there's, I don't know. I'm just hoping.
You beat their ass. I'm sorry. That's my answer. You beat their ass. I had told y'all that story of that dude in the parking lot when I was at outside of Starbucks.
He
had the Trump hat on and the Trump button and the veteran's cap he had on. It was a Vietnam War cap, and he had the Trump thing on there. And he's going to tell me I can't park my car in the parking lot, and that I need to move it, or he's going to call the police on me, like, all in one sentence. He didn't know me. I'm like, who are you talking to? I was like, you don't own nothing in this parking lot. And I told him, I was like, get out of my face. And then I just went out to my car to get my charger, and I went back. And I already paid for my drink, and so I got it. And then there was a regular dude in there that he's a regular at Starbucks. And I was like, yo, this dude outside, like, tripping or whatever. I was like, oh, some racist stuff. And he's like, is he still out there? And then he kept walking back. I didn't know what he was doing. I didn't know if he was going to, like, do something to my car, because it was, like, a space in there, and it was a Honda next to it. And he just kept pacing back. So I was like, let me see if I got to go out to my car and get something, because he just kept looking sketchy. And so, and then the dude, he was like real tall. He was a white guy. He's like six, he's like over 6'4". And he was like, I'll walk out there with you. And so he walked behind me, and it was two dudes in the Honda. And I was like, yeah, what was that dude doing out there? And he was like, he's on some racist stuff all the time. He's like, oh, he ain't gonna do nothing. Cause if he called the police, they're gonna arrest him cause he's on probation. And he started telling me all his business. And the parking lot that I was at, it's like an after hours, it was a family clinic, but after hours is like a drug class. Cause you know, Oklahoma just passed a law to where they don't send drug addicts to jail. They send them to a clinic, but until they, or to rehab facility or something like that, a drug court. Until they build them, they use the clinic as the drug court or whatever. And so he's there. He was like a heroin addict and a meth user. That's what he was there for. And he's like, man, if he called police, he's going to go to jail because he's on probation for drugs. And I was like, really? And so we've been there talking. I was just sitting there talking. I was like, you think this is the 1950s? I was like, I will not kill old ass out in this parking lot. And then they started laughing, and we just sitting there talking. And then while I was talking to them, he gonna come back and tell me why I need to move my car again. I was like, didn't I just tell you to get out of my face? And I said, get your dope shooting, your meth shooting ass out of my face. I said more than that. I said some MFs and all that stuff, and I cussed his ass smooth out. And he's sitting there looking, and he had that tweaker look in his eye. I was like, oh yeah, he on that shit, cause he had that little tweaker look in his eye. I was like, yeah, he on that shit. And so, I was like, yeah, get your dope shooting ass out of my face. And I was, at that moment, I'm dead serious, like, it was that moment, so I was like, yo, it could be one of them situations. And I was like, in that moment, I was like, if it go down, it's gonna go down. Cause you ain't go, I don't get disrespected by nobody. I ain't passive at all by being disrespected. So if you come at me on some racist stuff, come at me. Cause I'm gonna bust your ass. Like, if he would have did something else, I was prepared to bust that old ass man. I don't care how old he was. He could have been the same age as my grandfather. I don't give a shit. He's gonna get his ass rocked in that parking lot. Cause I'll play.
Oh my god. Oh.
They are. I know, well, listen, that was PG compared to what Q-Lin. I said to that man. Cause I touched his ass smooth out.
Q-Lin, I thought
ain't nothing PG what I said about that man. So I gave y'all Q-Lin. PG-13 custom right there. Cause I touched his ass smooth out.
EB, I don't blame you for laughing. Q-Lin, I thought we agreed that we would kind of keep this PG a little bit.
That was PG. What you talking about? I told y'all I used MFs. I didn't use none of the cuss words I used to that man.
Oh,
that
my goodness.
That is as clean as it's going to get.
You know, I'm going to have to throw in a station disclaimer. Hey, folks, ladies and gentlemen, we are not responsible for the language that's used on this.
They already know. They enjoy it. The listeners already that heard me. I didn't say what was it. We didn't use all kind of words on this show. It's apparent now.
Oh, my God. Okay.
But, yeah.
All right. Okay. I understand.
To get back.
No. Hey, Q-Lin, please. And if we have to do it, you know, the comment right now, who made the comment that is kind of scary right now?
Whitney.
I'm sorry.
Whitney said it.
Whitney. Hey, thank you for that. Because if you notice, ever since the election, there's been a cloud over this nation.
Yeah.
Have you noticed that? I mean, to me, it just seems like that. And I try to do everything I can to make sure that everything is positive, keep everything going, because I think this is a wake-up call for all of us to get our act together. Look, don't depend on anybody.
They're going to get give them a positive ass cussing out, and it'll cut all this out.
Yeah.
You tell me.
Well, that too.
They stop all that, because they like when you be passive and on some Martin Luther King, y'all try to get y'all love bringing up the nonviolent Martin Luther King. He wasn't on that wave. I don't know why y'all always bring him up with this and this piece and pray about it, all this stuff, while somebody trying to get in your face and try to treat you like being the 50s.
Right. Q-Lin,
cuss their ass out and they get out of the face.
Hey, Q-Lin.
He showed no guy out of my face because I was dead serious. He could see in my eye, I wasn't playing with him. And he showed no guy the hell out of my face when I told him to, because I was going to bust his ass right in that parking lot. Bust your ass right in this parking lot.
I see the Boone's Farm has kicked in. Anyway,
what kicked in?
The Boone's Farm.
First off, Bruce Farms is the people that listen to K. Michelle Keisha Cole. And I ain't know their ministry. You gonna get the name of my alcohol, right? I ain't drinking right now.
Okay. No.
We don't drink that around these parts. That's for people that listen to K. Michelle and get love advice from Love and Hip Hop. We don't do that over here.
Okay. No. Anyway, can we get back to a serious moment for a second? I was serious. No, Whitney, you.
Go ahead.
You know, but no, it's never been a time that you had. I can't remember in a long, long, long time that you had to be fearful so much. There's so much crap that's going on right now, and it's crazy. And I'm telling you right now, a lot of people pay attention to what's going on from the top. You know, everything trickles down from the top, right? And if you got somebody that says it's okay for the cops to use force, brutal force, you know, don't worry about putting your hands on top of their head, go and kind of rough them up when you throw them in a patrol car. If somebody says that, look, I could probably shoot somebody on Fifth Avenue in New York and I can get away with it, and it's okay. And somebody is in a rally and they're saying, hey, throw them out. And you know, if something happens, guess what? I will pay you a fine for you. And you have somebody that builds a building, up in New Jersey, the Taj Mahal, right? And then guess what? A bunch of people out of money and a lot of businesses went out. And you know, guess what? He also used Chinese steel to build the building, and he had illegal workers, working for him, you know, understand?
Yep.
And then at $5 an hour, then he didn't even pay them. But going back to, and there's a whole myriad of things, but what happens is, if people think that the president of the United States can get away with a whole lot of crap, guess what? They feel they can too. That's why all of these KKK, alt-right, Nazis, and all of these white supremacist people say, hey, it's time for us to come out of the closet right now. We can go and do what we've already done under the table. Now we can bring it on top of the table. So, Whitney, I can understand your comment, because that will invoke fear on anybody if you can say, look, damn. Is what I always thought is right here, and it's not a damn thing I can do about it. So many people are feeling helpless right now. And see, and then going back to that DACA thing, and I understand, I know we're rewinding a little bit, I'm sorry. But anyway, you have instilled fear, and almost, guess what? That's 800,000 people that registered. How many didn't? And then you got their parents here too. All of those people are subject to deportation. And it's all because you have a racist system that wants to, hey, population reduction. Check it out, folks. There are certain people that want the population reduced.
Yeah, all those are facts. All what he's saying is facts. I'll say, just to end it so we can move on with the show, with Michael Bennett, I'm glad that he got all his ducks in a row, because I saw a few people on the internet that said, why did he wait so long to say it? For you people that didn't pay attention in school and averaged a 15 on reading comprehension and didn't pay attention in the class when teachers were talking to you, what he's doing, he was setting it up to where he could get a case. And he got the best lawyer behind him to where any legalities, anything he can go after, he can put all that in place and go after this police department for what they did. So I love that part of it. So all of it was strategic, it was smart, and yeah, they pretty much, and they got it on tape. And the crazy thing about the whole thing, there's a lot of people trying to act like they didn't believe it, and then when the video surfaced from TMZ, that's when everybody started believing, which was crazy to me. But yeah, shout out to Michael Bennett. And I saw Colin Kaepernick had tweeted him as well and said that he was behind him, so that was cool. But yeah, we're gonna talk about Insecure. We're gonna get some of this, get a little bit, I know y'all keep up with Insecure. We're gonna add some levity to it and talk about the show. We didn't get to talk about it last week, but yeah, Insecure. Have y'all, what episodes are y'all on before we get to the recent one? Are y'all all caught up?
Yeah, I'm
caught up.
Cool. So, the week before that one, it was a situation going on with one of, what Issa calls her hotation, I put that in quotation marks, with Daniel, the dude she cheated on. I know people get mad when we do spoilers, but get over it, okay? Catch up, okay? There's all kind of devices out here to where y'all can catch up HBO. You got HBO to go. Catch up, people. It's free trial. I know black people like free stuff. Get with the free trial. I know y'all got to leave it off your thing when the free trial is up. The 30 days is gone. Remember about that. You got the fire sticks. I know how y'all do. I know how y'all try to get stuff on the low. Catch up on the show, okay? So just for people, this is a spoiler alert. So we're going to go in because the season's almost over with. So with Daniel, her, the one she cheated on with Lawrence, had their little situation going on. And I thought the biggest episode was him, his wah-wah not going through. But everybody want to talk about the last scene of the show. I thought that was great writing right there, talking about his app. But nobody wants to talk about that. They want to talk about the last scene in that. So after that, she's mad. I didn't understand why she was mad about that. I'm like, girl, what did you expect? What did you expect was going to go on?
Right.
I was like, what? But yeah, going into the next week. Oh, let's talk about how awkward that party was. What? Oh, my God. That was so awkward.
It was a hard
thing. That was terrible.
And Tiffany, Amanda Seale's character had me cracking up with those place cards. I'm like, girl, get where you're supposed to sit. I would show up be like that. Like, you not sitting where you're supposed to. That was hilarious. She was like, no, girl, you sit over here. That was funny to me. She's like, okay, that's okay. That's okay. And then she started talking about the fork, and Kelly was like, it's like 10 of these bitches over here. Like, get over here. I was dying. That was funny. Kelly got the best, like, one-liner. Let's talk about that. Kelly got the best one-liners in that show. She be having me dying. But, yeah, that scene, and then Lawrence, I'm trying to figure out, I think I missed something. Did he ask her out, or did she just volunteer herself to go to the party, the girl that he brought? His coworker.
Because he didn't ask.
She volunteered herself.
Yeah, basically. He said, I was going to this party or whatever. And she was like, oh, I can come if it's easier for you. And, of course, he caved, and he was like, oh, okay, dumb. It was awful.
Right.
That's hilarious. But, yeah, what did y'all think when the biggest scene, I think, for me was when they started arguing outside.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was a big one because they were both throwing low blows. And I was like, damn, Ethan, why you got to throw that depression one in there? I was like, damn. I was like, that was harsh.
But she was cussed
ass. I was like, no, she was gone. That was that.
And he was going through it being a bum. I felt like he deserved every bit of that.
Oh, so you team Ethan. I forgot we got to start it up the conversation. Is it Team Issa or Team Lauren? I've seen nobody because they both terrible to me. They both need to get their life together. But I hate how y'all taking up for Issa just because she's terrible.
She's awful. I'm actually Team Kelly because Kelly's been getting her life this whole season.
Right. I'm Team Kelly all day.
But Team Kelly. I'm saying is everybody wants to continuously demonize Issa. Like, Lawrence was just the dream man, and he wasn't.
Yeah, but she said the passive. The problem was that she was passive about it. If she had an issue, she brought it up, but she would do it in a way to where it was passive. Like, oh, you still ain't got no job. Like, she would do it in a way that wasn't like she would address it, but she would be like that one time he was like, oh, you still here? And he was like, yeah, I'm here with you or whatever, something like that. She said something smart. And she was getting flippant with him. I'm like, you didn't even have to bring it up like that. If you had an issue, all you had to do was sit down and talk to him. Like, why you got to go through all this extra drama stuff? And she wouldn't even have the need to cheat if she would just been honest. And both of them got horrible communication skills. And I'm not excusing Lawrence because he's terrible, too. But I'm just saying with Issa, she don't get no points either because she was hella passive during that relationship. Like, how are you that passive for that long and not say anything? Like, of course you're going to keep doing that because you ain't bringing it up. Like, you ain't trying to have a conversation, but that's just my opinion. But, yeah, Issa with this whole patient. I love when Lee was on. He was saying she's, like, the worst hoe ever. She is because I was trying to figure out why she was, like, trying to curb the white guy because that guy, she should date him. I feel like everybody wants Issa and Lawrence to go. I feel like she could get with the white guy because he seemed like the most reasonable one out of all the ones she was trying to get with.
I mean, yeah, I liked him too, but he wasn't about to play with Issa because that's all she was trying to do.
That's it. Yep.
Yeah. But I'm just saying, if she had to choose, and then talk about Molly with this whole. Now, I hate her motivation behind, because people are in a lot of open relationships. People try to act like that they try to make it seem like it's not a normal in society. There's a lot of people in open marriages, whether you believe it, you care about it or not, morally, whatever. It's a lot of people in open relationships, and they cool, so they don't categorize it as cheating. They do their thing. So I'm trying to figure out, her old motivation was that she was wanting marriage like what her parents had, and then when she found out that her dad cheated on my mom, that's when she's like, oh, I'm going to be a hoe now because my daddy cheated on my mom. Like, what? What kind of motivation is that? I don't like that, because if she was honestly wanting to be a side or whatever in that situation, if she honestly wanted to do that, I wouldn't have an issue with it. But her motivation behind wanting to do it was stupid to me. I'm like, girl, no, you don't do that. Just because you found out your daddy cheated on your mama, that was stupid.
I mean, it may have been stupid, but I think those kind of things have, like, real implications on people, and I think it proved that. Like, yes, she's grown, but sometimes we try to act like things can't impact us in a certain manner just because we're adults. So I felt like she showed, like, real vulnerability and something that was just very real within that.
Like, her expectations. I feel like she's putting too many expectations on that. Like, she saw it as the perfect marriage, and I felt like that was the wrong perspective to have, because anytime you put like that kind of expectations, you're gonna fail. So, because she was crushed when she found out about that, because she had them as like the perfect couple. I'm like, that's where she went wrong there. But yeah, I like how they write. I saw a lot of people had issue with the condoms and stuff like that, and I think Issa had said something about that. I honestly wasn't even thinking about it like that. I had said one thing when that sex scene with her and Daniel, I was like that when I saw that, I was like, and she had her eye covered. I was like, that reminded me of Ralphie from Christmas Story. I was like, you should try out, kid. That's the only thing I thought of whenever. That's the Christmas Story. It comes on like 20 times a day when Christmas is on, that Christmas Story. That's the first thing I thought. I was like, you should try out, kid. I'm like, what do you think was gonna happen? That'd be funny if they had that in there. That'd be like, they should have like a warning label or something that was gonna happen. That was funny, but yeah. we're gonna talk about EB's, first off, let's talk about how Questlove out here giving you your props out here. Let's talk about that. And then I saw your post before we got on about how he had showed your website to Jimmy Jam. What? That's like top of the line news right there. What did you think when all that stuff was happening, when you saw all that? Where'd EB go? Where'd he go get some of Will's drinks? Where'd he go?
You know, no, we are not in the same state. EB's here. Q-Lin.
I don't hear him. That's why I was saying that.
You don't hear me?
He's here.
Yeah, I hear you now.
Okay.
Okay.
So what I was saying was, when it all went down, when it happened, it was a good feeling. I woke up and Questlove had already quoted me and followed me and hit me up. It was like somebody who knows as much as about music as Questlove, who
deep into it too.
Yeah, he get real deep. Who was telling me that I've already started something. This is what he said: I've already started something that he was going to build upon. And then he went through some of my old tweets. You know, I was talking about Luther a couple months ago, and he was hitting Jimmy Jam up like, yo, Jimmy Jam, did you know this? It's like I was teaching Jimmy Jam and Questlove something, which is crazy. Or I was teaching them onto something they didn't know. And in my mind, that's wild. I'm just like, wow. Like, you know, I know I know a little something about music, but I don't know all of that. To be putting Jimmy Jam, like SOS band, Janet Jackson, Jimmy Jam. That was wild to me.
That's crazy. When I read that, I was like, that's crazy. I'm like, man, we out here. And then I put Maxwell's code on there. I was like, check the numbers, bitch. Check the numbers. He out here working. Check the numbers, bitch. We out here popping. Like anything Soul Savvy is affiliated is popping out of here. Y'all better catch up before y'all get lost out here. Y'all better get in the quality. You need to write a Prince post so Hayden can appreciate it. He popping out here. Get into the get into the Prince post. You need to read mine. Read about Prince and learn something. I got a musician appreciation on my website on soulsavage.com. You need to read it and learn something, youngin.
Youngin. Oh.
Oh, and just for that, it's crazy to me. I heard that audio back when I was editing, right? Just listening to the show, trying to find the parts, trying to figure out what parts I was trying to edit and stuff like that. I'm sitting there going, and then we sitting there talking about Prince. I got it all in the background, and I didn't hear it before when we were talking on the air because I was so focused on what I was talking about. I listened to the back, and I hear all Haley sucking her teeth and all that stuff, all this disrespectful stuff while we were talking about Prince. How dare you? I just want to say that. How dare you suck your teeth when we're giving them Prince facts on there? Right?
Oh, my goodness.
Thank you. I'm good. Disrespectful.
Q-Lan, do we want to get...
on this show.
Do we want to get the Solange song in before...
yes. Okay. I was just about to go to break so I could calm my nerves about this disrespect of Prince. Oh, my God. You really sucked your teeth at Prince.
I really did, and I really
did. You like, this is such a lie. We got this song for you, Haley.
Oh, my
God. This song is for you. Solange, Cranes in the Sky. It's for you.
Believe it or not, this is Studio W The Buzz, the Soul Savage Show. Q-Lynn Green. There are no words. E.B. Whitney. Oh my goodness, Solange. A seat at the table.
Myself busy, I ran around in circles, think I make myself dizzy. I slept it away, I sexed it away, I read it away, 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 away. To run it away, thought in my head be feeling clearer. I traveled 70 states, thought moving around make me feel better. I tried to let go my lover, thought if I was alone then maybe I could recover. To write it away, I'll cry it away.
Don't you cry it, babe.
Solange. A seat at the table. This is the Soul 70 show with Q-Lynn Green. Q-Lynn, I have to say, your taste in music is impeccable.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate that. That's Solange right there. She's giving you many Ripperton style vocals right there, which I know about that. That finesse of vocals. What? It's like crazy. That's my jam right there. As soon as that percussion starts, I'm hyped. And she's speaking truth in there, talking about you. I try to drink it away. What? What y'all doing? She's giving y'all grown folks issues. That's real R&B right there. Give y'all real R&B. That's my jam. But yeah, thank you for that. Well, I appreciate that. Although, so I tried to switch it up a little bit. We was gonna play on Prince, but I was like, I think Haley likes Solange's album, A Seat at the Table. So I was like, we gonna take it light. So, we took it easy. So, I ain't that intense of a Prince fan, cause I was showing up. You, after I heard you smacking, doing all that, I was about to play everything. So I was about to play Erotic City. We gonna give you triple back to back for that. Gonna give you triple. Give you all Princes. But yeah, we at the end of the show. I hope we get a little bit of extended time, cause I wanna play the game with Whitney. We played it with Haley. But we gonna play with Whitney. And I feel like Whitney's gonna, sometimes I try to feel out who's gonna win the game or not. It's called the What's Wrong With You game. Sometimes I can feel who's gonna win. I feel like she can win this one. I'm not 100. I would say I'm at about 80, 82, maybe percent. I'm not sure. We'll figure it out. When we do on the show, we play a game with the guests. We call it What's Wrong With You game. It's basically either or game. You pretty much got pick by pick. Sometimes we'll let EB be the side judge. You know, if I feel like I need to get sustained in the court of Soul Savage Radio, he'll come in and say, hey, ain't nothing wrong with her on that. So maybe he might throw you a bone, but my whole thing is determining factors. So Whitney, I hope you're ready. We get ready to play. It's an either or game. Music catalog. It's not vocal comparison, so get it out your head. It's just who has the best music catalog out of these people. So here we go. Okay, first one, Marvin Gaye or Teddy Pendergrass?
Marvin Gaye.
There we go, you're talking right. You already got a good start. Okay, OJs or The Whispers?
I'm going with the OJs.
There we go. That's bonus right there. You can go either or with that one. And that's another trick to this. Some of these are tricks. I make up the rules as I go. So some of these are tricks. Some of these are tricks.
Of course you do.
Some of these are bonus questions.
It's a dictatorship.
Don't you say this game is rigged. I knew you was going to say that. This game is not rigged.
Yes, rigged.
It's a perfect game. It is not. I'm about to hit this mute button. That's what I'm about to do. Because we're not fixing to have this insubordination going on in this radio show.
I need to install my bleep button.
I ain't threw out no call. Okay, we getting off track here because we're trying to get you riled up on the show again. We already went through this with MJ and Prince. We ain't gonna do this again. Okay, the next one, Rick James or Prince?
Prince.
Is that a question? Is that a real question?
That I'm going with Prince.
Is that a real question?
Haley, that is a great thing. What are you talking about? You can't go wrong with that answer.
Rick James.
You can't go either or with that. Now that's the real debate, Rick James or Prince, because they were on the same level. There ain't no MJ versus Prince. But you talking right, either way, if you would have went with both of them, either one, you would have won either way, so you get bonus. You playing this game right. Okay, but this is the tricker right here. We get to the hard ones now. Okay. Off the Wall, this is specifically to Michael Jackson, Off the Wall or Thriller?
I'm gonna go with Thriller. I'm going with Thriller.
Oh, man. See, I knew once we, I told you, EB, when we get to the hard ones, that's when we start really cooking on this show. When we get to the hard ones, that's when, cause these ain't no either, these ain't no trick questions. You gotta pick either or. I'm gonna ask again, is that your final answer?
Yes.
is Thriller. Are you 100% positive?
Why are you putting me in this weird spot? I'm going with Thriller because that for me is like childhood. Like I can't not say Thriller. I just can't. So.
Okay, so you got sentimental attachment. I'm going to give you, you're not going to get it, what's wrong with you, but you're going to get a negative 20 points on that one. I'll give you a negative 20 because your answer for it was pretty good, but because it's got sentimental attachment to it, we're going to give you negative 20. You didn't get it, what's wrong with you, you got negative 20. Okay. The next one.
I told you it was rigged.
Well, where is this mute button at? I'm about to find it. Okay. The next one, Patty or Aretha?
I can't choose, so I'm saying both.
Oh, you know what? You're the first person on this show to do that. So, that's interesting. Okay,
yeah.
You'll get away with that because we've never had nobody do that before.
For different reasons, so I
right.
Can't really
okay, that's a great answer. That is a great answer. Clap for you for that. So that was a great answer right there.
Let's get that
great answer
for me next time.
Yes. Yes, that was a great one. Okay, this is the next one. Okay, might be the last one. Depends. Okay. Brian McKnight or Babyface?
Oh my god.
You're giving the dramatic pauses on this one.
Yeah,
I
like to be dramatic sometimes.
I'm on the edge of my seat.
So I'm gonna go with Babyface on that one. My God. But I like them both.
I just got
like
up and kick off right here. I just got up and kick off. What?
I like them both.
There we go.
Yeah, I'm going with Babyface.
Oh, that's the conclusion of the game right there. You won. I conclude, and I hope EB concludes, there is nothing wrong with Whitney. Nothing wrong with her. She won the game. You played this game perfect. You won. What? Babyface? And you? Now.
I say Brian McKnight.
Yeah, that's why. And EB said it right. You lost anyway for saying you don't like Prince, so you're going to get the continuous what is wrong with you.
Y'all going back up on Baby Simpson now. Thank you.
I'm just saying. You want me to put out there what you said? No. Sure. Don't let me do it. You said we should have hung up on it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's real. Could she be doing that? I'm just saying I can't let y'all jump on it, though. That ain't right.
we light on that, but we at the end of the show. Y'all can plug your different social medias or whatever you got, the different website. Let the people know where they can reach you at online.
Well, nothing has changed.
Turn the music down real quick. Will. Turn it down just a bit. Will.
Baby, I'm just listening.
Will.
I'm right here.
Okay, we'll just turn it down just a bit so they can hear.
Oh, hey, I'll turn it up.
No, turn it down. Oh my God, Will, wait. Oh my God. Okay.
Hey man, the Pino kicked in. I don't know what you want from me.
Yeah, Pino kicked in and he already ready to go. He already saving it. Like,
no. No. EB. EB Whitney. You know, you have to understand. Now she's already, you've already gone over 6 minutes. So the song was a cue.
We gotta plug the show. Okay, cool. We gotta plug the stuff.
Hey,
okay.
I understand that. We're going to plug it. I love it. I tell you what. Let me tell you what I'll do. All right. Let's do this. Q-Lan, this is what we'll do. We'll start it all over again. Because see, just like I told you guys, the game was rigged and Q Lynn rigged the show. It's like, oh, whatever, God. You know, it's whatever direction.
It's whatever. You probably got the lines of pictures of cocaine with you right now.
Oh, man. And guess what? And you know, a disaster could be a victory. Don't even worry about
okay.
it.
Okay. Okay, so we're going to plug the rest of it. We're gonna wrap the show up real quick. Well, it ain't going to take that long. If you give me about 2 more minutes, I told y'all this is live radio. This ain't rehearsal. This is live radio.
No, this is definitely live.
We're gonna wrap the show up again. If Haley and Whitney, you can plug your stuff so people can find out where you are.
And ladies and gentlemen,
how they can reach you.
Ladies and gentlemen, forgive our host. She actually.
Ladies and gentlemen, give it up to Will Pino Grigio. We can give that up. Give it up for Will Pino Grigio. That's been kicked in at the end of the show. Go ahead. Oh my God, see, you keep making it. I'm trying to wrap the show up and you keep going. Oh my God.
Ladies and gentlemen, our host is actually a patient.
Oh my God. You trying to rush me off? Okay. For the third time, we're gonna wrap the show up. Thank you for tuning in to Soul 7 Radio. You're listening to our producer that has a fine tasting for Pinot Grigio and anything with a nice alcohol taste too. He's an expert on, so we're gonna get to that one show and get to his brown liquor favorite playlist. We're gonna get to the brown liquor playlist one show. But after that, you tune into Soul Savage Radio Show. And so Haley and Whitney, can you plug your social media and let people know where they can find you?
Yes. For me, it hasn't changed. Still as by her underscore.
Okay, EB, where can I find you at? Oh, I mean, sorry, Whitney.
You can reach me on Twitter at Afrocentric2011.
There we go. Go ahead, EB.
All right, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, EB, the number 4, Prez, EB for Prez, and the website, ebforprez.com. Questlove and Jimmy Jam are reading it, and you should be too.
There we go. That's the best promotion right there. And I'll say that Prince gave me a smiley face on an email to me, and he saw my Roger Troutman. So y'all should check out Soul Savinus because it's Prince approved. Not only is it Prince approved, but Bootsy Collins sent me a tweet said that I made his funk to pee, and he said he's going to pee on a record for me. So I think that's credible as well. So, yeah, that's awesome. So y'all check that out. Listen, get him to EB for Prez because he's popping out here in these streets. And like I said before, as the Maxwell quoted, check the numbers, bitch. Check them numbers.
Oh, yeah. My goodness.
You can find me at Julian Green on Instagram and Twitter and Facebook. You can go to the website, soulchannels.com. We got some new stuff coming up for you. You can check the Twitter and Facebook page. And we used to do a Savvy Heathen Talk at the show. I'm going to do mine, and then y'all can throw y'all's out there. My Savvy Heathen Talk is... like Shonuff said in The Last Dragon, you, Will and Haley, y'all both can kiss, Prince's Converse, heels. Y'all can kiss his Converse heels.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is...
Why are you trying to talk out there? Throw out there.
We've already had the heathen talk, believe me. But this has been the Soul Savage Show on Studio W. But Q-Lan, don't worry. And we will get you the help that you need. Okay? This is
the and get some cocaine pinches off the table as well. Get some cocaine pinches in that.
Oh my goodness!
Off the table.
I think you're just a little upset that MJ is the king.
He is not.
He is not. Ladies and gentlemen.
They try to turn me up. You see how you do me?
No.
You see how you do me?
Okay. Okay. This is overtime.
Okay. Soul Savage Radio people, y'all tune in every Friday, 5 to 7 Pacific time, 7 to 9 Central, 8 to 10 Eastern. We'll be back next Friday.
Oh my
God. Thank you to our guests for coming on. Thank you to all the guests.
This has been hilarious. I just want the audience to know that the language that has been used on this show is not endorsed by Studio W the Buzz.
Yes, it is. It is endorsed. It is endorsed in co-sign.
Q-Lin. Evie.
Oh, man.
Whitney. Oh. I hope you enjoyed yourself. Somebody give me a tissue. This is incredible. This Soul Savages show. This girl is insane. Hey, enjoy. I think that's Tank.
Oh, so my God.
You.
That was crazy.
My star.
What is this thing to keep going on and on? I can't help.
Without that tilt down, and it feels so right. Shining all day, not just all night.